from PRX.
Friends beyond binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time to take a trip into the past, into the autumnal. It's just so funny. I thought there was only one way to pronounce autumnal, but apparently my brain feels like there's multiple ways. Autumnal. I don't know what I was even saying. I could just hear in my brain, not in my voice. But we're heading to Universal Orlando for some past autumnal joy with the weekend and so many more, so much more. This will be Scoots voiced and not Ray voiced. I'll be walking through a trip from a year or two ago to Universal Orlando for their celebration of autumn. So fun, so snoozy and sleepy. So if you've ever wanted to see a concept based on a concept album conceptually presented in a sleepy way, you're in luck because it's time for Sleep With Me. The podcast, it's here. It's here to put you to sleep, but the way we do it is I keep you company, let you know you deserve a good night's sleep. You do. You deserve a bedtime you could look forward to or at least feel neutral about, a bedtime you don't have to dread. And while this podcast doesn't work for everybody, I'm here to be your friend in the deep dark night and keep you company while you fall asleep, to take your mind off of stuff. Now, I'm the kind of friend it does take some getting used to. We don't become friends right away. Most listeners say, most reviewers, it takes two or three tries. But I'm here to help. I'm here to be like, give me a call. Like, it's like you're giving me a call. You already called. Thanks for calling, by the way. So good to be good. From here on out, I'll just be talking for your benefit. But thanks for calling me up. It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast. Oh, what's going to happen is first there's after this is like a warm up here. Then there's going to be some support. That's how we get this show out free twice a week. Then there'll be a long meandering intro to ease you into bedtime. And then later on, we'll be talking about Lil Boo and all everybody over at the autumnal joy of adventure, whatever they call it at Universal, AAJ or whatever. It has three initials, but it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And these sponsors are what enable me to do it for free twice a week. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. With just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking, If the answer to those questions are yes, yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now if the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, everybody. It's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Luxe, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Luxe Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Luxe. I love my Helix Dusk Luxe. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Luxe, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone. It's one part of the podcast where I get really excited because, you know, most of our sponsors and most of the ways the show works is direct response. People that directly do stuff are all the ways we keep the show going. And there are so many people listening right now that I know love it because I know how many, I've heard from so many of you that listen to this ad-supported feed for free, and it's there for you. You're a part of it. Even if you're not in a position to support the show at all, that's what's great. That's why I celebrate the people who are, because we're all doing this together. That's what the Sleepy Supporter Zone is all about and why it has these different phases of the thing, because we're all doing it together. So I don't know, you could put 2 fingers together and clap too for fun, or set an alarm and be a part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone yourself. Right now, I'm thanking Mira and Dominic, who got a Bernie the Butterfly tote from our merch store. And then Cece and Yael, who got both got sleep phones, using our sleep phones link and our sleep phones code. All Sleep With Me merch. Very, very cool. And supporting the show and letting me know about it. You could do that at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. Thank you so much for the support. Little finger clap from me too. All right, that's the first part of Sleepy Supporter Zone. The second part is also about you. Getting the support you need if you're having a tough time. There's links to resources, including international resources you can connect with right now, right there in the show notes. It's also about being a part of positive change, being a part of still, and not just saying Black Lives Matter, not just saying Stop AAPI Hate, not just saying Support Ukraine. Taking action, learning more. And I want to thank Coco, who supported the Trevor Project. That's one of the things in our show notes, Trevor Project, Midnight Mission, and some of the funds for the actors and writers strikes or what are in our show notes right now. You could support any of those. Let me know about it like Coco did. So thank you, Coco. Mystery Bard. A lot of people work really hard on this show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Poster Song. Sounds like a near fall. Wrote the theme song. Edits episodes too. Carl W. The Legend. Also edits episodes. Ashley, Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer. Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the mystery bard. I do the lullabies, yeah. I do commissions at JonathanMann.net. I'll write a song for you. Any reason at all. You can tell me the story and I'll make it personal. You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your narrators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance. Rusty Biscuit, Lois, Anna like Banana. Leah does the transcripts.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. Don't forget, you can get those sleep phones. You got to use our link for us to get any credit for it, though. SleepWithMePodcast.com/sleepphones and use Sleep With Me to get $5 off your order. What do you say? We slow it down and get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. And I'll do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, you know, things on your mind that you're thinking about, So thoughts about the past, the present, the future, everything, everywhere, all at once, but mostly in my bed, in my between my ears. Maybe that was like, so yeah, thoughts. It could be feelings, anything coming up for you emotionally. It could be changes in time or temperature or routine. You could be anticipating something, going through something, or getting over something. Whatever it is, and the reason I go through all that is because I want you to know you're not alone. Even though this is digital or whatever, and you can download it and listen to it out of order, there's other people listening right now, and myself and a lot of other listeners. While we might not know exactly what you're going through, while I might not have been through it before, I could probably relate to how it feels, if not that I felt those feelings myself. That's why I call it the deep, dark night, because it's not easy. As Kermit once said, but maybe Kermit may have been taught, it's not easy being green, Kermit said. You know, there was I don't know if there was ever a song by Miss Piggy who said, it's not easy being Kermit the Frog's girlfriend or partner, because, and Kermit, I mean, that could be a duet. Like, how come, was that ever a thing where she came, excuse me, Frog, I'm here, like, I know you're duetting with John Denver, whomever, I know you and Liza Minnelli are about to do a number about being green, but I'd like to, you know, propose I sing a song about our, I don't know, I don't know a lot about the relationship, honestly, other than it seems, like it has its ups and its downs. And I'm not taking anyone's side, I'd say that, but I'm just saying, like, but this is when I put myself in Miss Piggy's shoes. She usually has pretty nice shoes on. I'd say from her perspective, she would say it's not easy being in a long-term relationship with Kermit. I think if we were in a public setting, Kermit would not say the same thing. But if we were in private, say, come on, Frog. You know, I know what you're saying when you say it's not easy being green. Like, and Kermit says, oh, well, yes, it's an exploration. And I say, oh, no, I mean, and Kermit would probably just pat me gently. Because I don't know if Kermit the Frog does not, strike me as a gossip. Oh, how did we get so far afield? Oh, because it's not easy being not able, like, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep, waking up early. Sorry, I went on a tangent before I told you about that was a superfluous tangent. Speculation, speculative Muppet fiction, speculating about Muppets, it's another thing I'll never write. I'll speculate on the speculation. Well, it's speculative fiction. It's fiction I'm speculating about. Speculating about speculating. So that sounds more like the cookies they give you on an airplane anyway. When you say it too many times, it's like, but so if you're new, it's not easy. Now I can't stop thinking about that. I got to change. Got to get off of the subject. But so we can relate to how it feels in the deep, dark night. And you also, as I said earlier, you deserve a good night's sleep. That's really why I make the show. You deserve the rest you need to make your life more manageable. And so eventually you can be getting the rest you need on a regular basis. And you could be out there flourishing. but not a bedtime you have to dread. I've done that. I've been through that, on and off and on and off. So I really hope I can help with that. Now, this show does take a few tries. I said it earlier, too. It just takes some tries getting used to. One, because it's a podcast you don't really listen to, and that's different. It's a podcast you just kind of barely listen. Some people listen to me at a mumble. Some people are listening, or they're kind of listening. You know, they're listening with, like, and here's the thing. This is no wholehearted listening needed. That's too much pressure, wholehearted listening. I don't know if I've heard that before, because it's hard to say. But, I mean, I would assume, and I guess it's making an ass out of a frog and me, but that Kermit is a wholeheart listener. But, they say, Kermit's a piece of felt, man. It's, wait a second. And I said, like, okay. Did you really have to bring that? I thought I was building some momentum there. Some other part of my voice decided to lay some truth on me. And I think it was, there was like some sort of hidden metaphor in the truth myself just laid on me. But it also like went over my head. So I'll just move on. So however you listen, it's a podcast that keeps you company, but that you don't really have to pay attention to. Also, there's no pressure to fall asleep. There's a reason these shows are over an hour. So there's no pressure to fall asleep. There's a reason there's over 500 shows for free you could listen to. So you can listen to as many or whichever ones you want. There's no pressure to fall asleep. There's people that are listening that aren't able to sleep, and I'm here to keep them company to the very end. I'm here to keep you company to the very end, whether you're awake or asleep. So just listen, chill out, get comfortable. I can actually speak to that technique. This morning, I woke up twice earlier than I wanted to get up. I went to bed later than I normally would. And it really said, like, hey, let's just lay here. Maybe we'll fall back asleep. Maybe we won't. But let's, you know, and I said, man, this bed is really comfortable. And I said, weren't we just talking about that to ourselves the other day? Well, let's just enjoy, all these pillows are nice, huh? And it's good temperature in here. We were dreaming about some cool stuff. Let's just lie here and relax. And then I did drift in and out of sleep for an hour, hour and a half. But anyway, the podcast is here to keep you company and take your mind off of stuff, to be your boar friend, your boar bae, your boar sib, your boar bestie, your boar burr, your neighbor, your boar bud, your Borbra. Like, I'm here to keep you company, not to put you to sleep, really. That's the weird thing about this show. And the way I do it is I send my voice across the deep, dark night. I use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, and superfluous tangents. And if you don't like the show or it doesn't work for you, just so you know, there's a website I have, sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou. It has other sleep podcasts and sleepy stuff on there. Because the reality is this show just doesn't work for everybody, but do give it a try. I mean, unless you're 100% sure, but most of those people have already reached out to me. And for some reason, not many of those people check out sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou. But the cool thing is there's really good podcasts and other sleepy stuff on there. That's a different style and sound than Sleep With Me. But do give Sleep With Me a couple tries, because if you came here skeptical or doubtful or frustrated, that's how most people get here. And that's something we share. We've tried and spent a lot of money, a lot of time, heard a lot of advice about that you're doing it wrong. Sleep, you're doing it wrong. That's like something I've heard multiple times. And I say, well, okay, well, I'm just trying to get some rest here. Oh, boy, in a bed? You're trying to sleep in a bed, huh? Oh, boy, you're never going to, that'll never work. How many pillows you got in that bed? Why are you asking? Well, just trying to give you some free advice. Well, no, you were actually asking me how many pillows I had. You said I was doing it. You said, I said, well, okay, if you don't want my opinion, I mean, I'm just telling you. I sleep, those are always people that say, I sleep, as soon as my head hits the pillow, I fall asleep. So we're so happy for those people, really. Well, that particular person, yeah, we got to be happy for them. Maybe they'll get maybe one day they'll get enough sleep that they'll say, "Wow, that's instead of the saying that like Sleeping in a bed? Yeah, how many blankets you got on there? Oh, boy, that's not right. They'd say, oh, wow, that's tough. Not able to sleep, huh? Okay, well, is there anything I can do to help? So, okay, what was I talking about? Podcasts don't really need to. Oh, you just give it a few tries and see how it goes. Like a million plus people have said, took two or three tries, or first I couldn't stand you. And then eventually I realized, oh, this podcast is never going anywhere. Just here to help, but never starts, never kind of peters out, but never, you know, it says, you know, a lot, gets mixed up. That's, oh, okay, I get it. It is a podcast. It doesn't put you to sleep, or you don't listen. You can, you kind of fall asleep. You kind of listen. So that's what you need. Those are a couple things you need to know usually if you're new, because those are things that throw people off. But if you're scoutful or deptical or doubtful or skeptical, deptical, that's my new eyewear brand, deptical. They're glasses that you'll be skeptical. You're doubtful and skeptical about them because they don't exist. Depticals. They're spectacles for your they're speculative spectacles. They're the spectacles I wear when I'm writing speculative fiction about the Muppets. Okay, so, oh boy, where was I? Oh, structure of the show also throws new people off. So let me just tell you why, because it is very intentional the way we structure the show. So show starts off with a greeting, friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. So you feel seen and welcome, like you feel greeted, like, hey, you're important and your sleep is important. Come on in and check it out and see if this helps. That's important part of the show. You say, well, you could look at it. You could come in and check it out. You could look at it from the outside, whatever you're more comfortable with, but we're glad you're here. Then there's support. So the show could be free versus just doing it for a company and you'd have to pay for it or whatever. So that's how we're able to do that twice a week, and have all the archived episodes. Then there's support for listeners in there. Then there's an intro, which is separate from the support. And for some reason, when people don't like the fact that the show needs support or whatever, they lump the intro in with that. And I don't want you to miss out on the intro unless you realize, oh, you know, the show works better for me without the intro. That's about 2% of listeners that skip the intro. And some people listen to story-only episodes on Patreon or Apple Podcasts. But for the most part, the intro is meant to ease you into bedtime. It introduces the podcast to a new listener. But my regular listeners, what up, regular listeners and all their pets? What up, fishes and other pets? For them, the intro is a slow wind-down. Whether you're doing some sort of other relaxing activity, you're getting ready for bed, you're in bed getting comfortable, you're falling asleep, the intro is a slow lowering of the volume, a transition from evening time to bedtime. And that's what many, many, many studies show. Having a wind down is one of the things that actually does work. So that's what the intro is part of. Then there'll be some support again between the intro and the story. And then tonight it'll be our coverage of Autumnal Fun at Universal Orlando. And then there's some thank yous at the end. So it's the structure of the show. It's why I make the show. I'm really glad you're here. Thank you so much for coming by. I really hope I can help you fall asleep. And here's a couple of ways we're able to do it for you for free twice a week. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, but this is Scoots here, and I think last year Ray did this episode, but I'm feeling like I want to do it this year. And this is kind of dated material, like we do it a year or two after. But I have the flyer in my hand. My daughter and I went to, we love these autumnal events. What are they called? Avant-garde autumnals, where a theme park, or there's, you know, there's a lot of local things. And, put on these autumnal events where they interpret in an artistic way people's enjoyment of the autumnal season, or Halloween sometimes, is a particularly a focus. And we went, now when I'm recording this after we went, but well, it'll come out well after we went to this, a year maybe or plus. But we went to Universal Orlando's avant-garde autumnal awesomeness, Evenings of Awesomeness. Is that what it's called? Avant-garde, autumnal avant-garde Evenings of Awesome. Maybe it's just Evenings of Awesome. I don't know. It's I don't know, but it's cool. They're actually doing one in Las Vegas in the future, like a year-round one. And this was our first time going to this. You know, we went to that Knott's Autumnal Farm. And probably when you're hearing this, we'll be going to some, I don't know where, like California or Florida. And like Ray talks about, this was one of those ones where I was able to, like, Max used, like, this whole trip was made possible with planning around points and stuff. So I don't know, should this be a full travel thing? We used points. We stayed two nights at the Orlando Hotel. There's a hotel in the Orlando airport. And it was great. And it was actually, like, for the points we used, really really cool. But yeah, we went to this. I'll go through everything. I don't know how long it's going to take here. And this is definitely something you want to check out. They have themed food. They also have merch. We didn't do any merch. We did look at some merch because they have their tribute store. And one of the main characters is a pumpkin named Lil Boo. A kind of an icon. It's not on the front page of it. Oh yeah, let's start at the front page. They do have, like usually it's like a mix of, ones they design, and then like Universal, like original creations by the team at Universal. And I've listened to podcasts about this and stuff like that. And we went on, daylight tour, but that's not, none of this is, that's a, I mean, maybe it'll come up during it. I didn't take notes though. But, yeah, so this one had three different, on the cover, it has the weekend in the center. The weekend, like, from the, you know, Canadian's finest, Canada's finest, the weekend after hours, autumnal after hours. I mean, that one, talk about genius. That was one of the better, they were all excellent. But I would put the weekend one up there. I was only able to go through it once because it was so popular, but it was awesome. Then there was one trying to think of how to explain it, but it's about carving of jack-o'-lanterns, which is a popular thing in these autumnal ones. But this one, it was like one of these competitions. We'll explain it, but that was another popular one. Oh, it's called Common Pumpkin Carvers because everybody dresses the same. So kind of like in Great British Bake Off, you don't know who's or whom is like who's like the, or whatever that show is with the dancers in disguise. What's that called? Nobody's Voice. Oh, it's Singers. The Hidden Voice or something like that. And then the third one was from films by Autumn by Blum, it's called. And it starts at 6:30. It goes until very early in the morning. So we were very tired. I remember that part. Okay, so we're going to open the flyer. I mean, this isn't the flyer. This is the map and stuff. So they say, oh, and I could talk about tips, actually, just in case anybody is going. Though things change. They have their tips here. Come early, stay late. Wait times are longest during the middle of the evening events. Check out original content first, then catch the show. There's two shows. Well, one was canceled, though. I forgot about the show. There's like a dance magic performance. It was excellent. Then the IP, what the movie music themed houses, they call them. Then they had a Lagoon show, but that was canceled because of the weather. Then head to the back of the park first, work your way towards the front. Wait times on rides are much shorter. I don't think we went on any rides at all. So those are some tips. I'll give you my tips, though. So if you're going to the park during the day, we have annual passes for Universal. But so we were able to get in before the event started. It is a separate ticketed event. But you can scan your ticket. Well, explain it because it was a very Scoots-like moment. But they call it you stay and have fun. Stay and have fun for autumn. So whatever, it starts at 6:30. I think the stay and have fun starts, I don't know what time the park closed, maybe at 5, maybe even 4:30. So you do have to read about this on the internet because it changes every year how this early stuff works. Or you could buy an early pass where you can get in like to the park 2 hours before it closes and then you could stay there. And then scan in for this autumnal fun night. So that's the first thing. We did that. let's see. So what we did was we had slept at the airport hotel and had breakfast. So we kind of took it leisurely because we got in late at night. So we kind of slept in, but not too far in because we were kind of excited. Then we ate breakfast at the airport hotel and then headed over to Universal. I don't know if we ever took a break. Trying to remember. I think because we had such a late start. I honestly don't know. But so we went to, we got into the park. We did some stuff and then we got in line. This is all at Universal Studios, not Islands of Adventure. And so there's a couple places you can get in line. You get in line to scan your ticket, and then you get in line again to start getting in line for these autumnal homes, these houses of autumn, avant-garde autumn awesomeness. And this is where things went a little bit awry. Now, there's a lot of people imbibing heavily at this event. So just be prepared for that. And my daughter's like 15 at the time, but it was still a little bit, we were in line and like, but I can relate. I've been there throwing them down. But if you are if you think maybe like 15 is probably a good age because you say, hey, yeah, this is how your dad would behave that way a little bit. Not even anything extraordinary. I'm sure just people talking loud or, you know what I'm saying. So we're in line with the, like, oh, people that think, like, introverts or that suddenly become super friendly and talkative. That was what we had. Like, so this one guy's talking our ear off. So we were in line, and we were in line, near the waterfront, like, near San Francisco and the Transformers ride and the New York area. And this was the big... where it didn't go well. The waiting in line part was fine, and we were pretty far back. I don't know. We didn't line up too early. I mean, our timing ended up working out pretty good. So what happened was, and I cannot recommend this enough because it ended up really paying off, because the wait times do get pretty busy, especially this was a Saturday night. So we were in line, but the problem is, and I don't like so many, every ticket now is on your phone, right? And with that many people having to scan their tickets, it puts both the Wi-Fi and even the cell service under a bit of duress. And I don't know if there's great service there. So looking back on it, I should have taken screenshots of our tickets, which I did not do. So of course, when we got to the front of the line, I had no service. I couldn't get service. And we had to get out of line. I had to walk around. Luckily, my daughter did hold our spot, like where people were going by. So then we got back in line. We got in, but we did lose not just a second of time, but like probably like a few hundred people got in front of us. But the thing is, they let people into like a closed off area where there's a bar, and then there's food stands that are in bars that are opening or getting ready to open. And then there's, I don't know if there was two lines or three lines, and there's three of these zones that you can get into early, and then you can line up for one or two autumnal awesomenesses ahead of time. So what we did was we went right to the line, the next line, and I mean, this is actually not that bad because, it worked out really well. I mean, the only thing I would change differently is maybe like having a snack with us, or like buying a snack right as we got ready to get in line and a drink. But other than that, it was gold. So then you get let into like a temporary queue, and they're kind of cycling the queues, but it's like a bit of like a holding queue, because they're still getting people out of the park and there's one-way traffic. But then you can sit down, at least on the ground. I mean, you sit on the ground or the curb or whatever, and then you wait. So this, I don't know what time this is. Let me see. I don't know if they have it in here. But let's just say they then, like, now they don't guarantee what time the houses are going to open, but if we were going middle of the season, so we kind of had a general idea that one of the houses there was going to open at, I think the whole event opens at 6:30. I don't know if they start letting you into house at like 5:30 or 6, but you do get in early. And eventually what happened is then they took us in a line for one of the houses, and it was one of the more popular houses because they start those lines. I think the weekend was another house, or maybe not though. But the weekend opened, according to the internet. Again, this isn't official. This is information you had to gather on other people's experiences and triple check it. But this was the one with the pumpkin carving contest one that was based on a very, very famous series of movies, and game, those movies about the game shows about pumpkin carving that everybody knows about, of course. So eventually they let us in line for that. And then we waited again. But again, that's fine. And then we were kind of keeping an eye on time, and we didn't know what was going to be 15. Was it, I don't know. And I don't know, looking back on it, if it was 5:15, 5:30, 5:45, 6 or 6:15. But eventually they opened that autumnal awesome house, and then we got into that. And I'll talk more about that when I go through the guide here. But then when we got out of that one, we were able to get in line for another one. This is still before 6:30 or maybe even 6. And so we were able to do like, I can't remember now. I don't think we wrote it down either, but like at least 3 houses, if not 4 houses. I think we were able to get that side of the park done before, it got really busy. So that really, really worked out well. So I highly recommend it. And you could kind of go by what houses you're most interested in going to, what's most popular, because that changes year to year. Okay, what else do you need to know? There is an express pass. We didn't get that. And there is, like, if you live in Orlando, they have different passes where you could go to the first 17 nights, go to every Sunday through Thursday events, plus the first weekend, all the Saturday through Friday events, plus the last Saturday night events, all the Sunday through Friday events. That's 36 nights, or every single night with free parking after 5 p.m. Okay, so, and they do have on the app the wait times. So they do have, in this, like, I got to tell you, like, I was unbelievably impressed with everything. And you get to go backstage, but they have, like, the theming of stuff was cool. But they also have foods. Now, we were not super hungry. So I'm going to have to go through what foods we tried, but this doesn't have everything, but they have ice cream sandwich, cheese dog, twisted taters, fried chicken. Okay, so let's open it up here. Okay, so they don't have a lot. I may have to look up other stuff here to see what other stuff, but, you know, we can kind of go through this. Okay, so this is the map. And it has, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 houses of autumnal awesomeness. But then there's street zones where they're celebrating autumnal awesomeness, which were really amazing. And again, it's we went before the time had changed, so it was light out for a while. So we did experience a lot of these street fun in the streets during the day when the sun was out, and then at night, and even they were setting them up before as the park was closing. Okay, so let's just take a look and see if I can guess the order we did the stuff in. So first up was the common carving contest. So this one was cool. It was themed, according to this, those movies and show go back to 1978, where it all began. And it's the movies are like an interpretation of the game show. They're about the person that created the game show. So it's a fictional thing based on, it was a fictional game show. But then, you know, if you watch, you know, that reality channel or whatever it is, 841, you know, they put those repeats on now. You know, there's like light up your house, decorate that cake, and common carving. I mean, there's other pumpkin carving shows, but this is one where everybody dresses the same. And so the judges are watching them carve pumpkins and then voting at it. Just like I said, like a Great British Bake Off, where they don't know who made the stuff. And they're all supposed to make the same thing. Now, this one is a little bit different because it's themed to the, like, this house was more themed to the person creating the show. And what's cool is they kind of lay it out because they were like, it came from ideas from their childhood. So you're going through their childhood home and seeing their love of carving pumpkins and of Halloween and trick or treating, right? And, the person that invented it is Michaela Meyer. And Michaela, she loves Halloween, loves pumpkin carving. Then realizes that she had got, because again, this takes place in 76. So I don't even know in 76 what was a popular, but that was, I think, the era of where we got into these mass market Halloween costumes that we covered years ago. Or maybe it wasn't, but so Michaela goes to school for Halloween costume, and she was so into pumpkin carving that she wasn't into making her own costume, and nobody in her family was. So what ends up happening is Michaela gets the costume Michaela gets ends up like she goes to school. This is all fiction, by the way, but so it plays out more. And like, not only do like I think like five or six kids have the same costume as her on. And at first, the kids are upset, but then they pretend they're twins. Like, so this is all shown as you go through. First, you're in her house. Then you're walking to school, and you kind of see kids. Then you go into the classroom. Then you see the kids, like, tricking the teacher. Then Michaela comes up with the idea in class. And everybody loves it because they actually like ended up having extra time because their Halloween party. Now in this one, they were doing popcorn sculptures. They're making like jack-o'-lanterns like out of popcorn. I don't know, with like corn syrup or something. I've never done it before, but that's where then Michaela actually like it's actually in the movie. It's like it shows like then this like is somehow hiding in the anonymity helps Michaela come out of her shell to connect with the other kids. So then they even start a pumpkin, like instead of a lemonade stand, you probably already know all this history. It's pretty well known for the film and then the game, the game show or the reality show. But she starts like the first pumpkin carving stand, like a lemonade stand. Her and her friends dress the same. And they even do like, now this was fictionalized because obviously it would take too long, but like they would do something where if you could guess which kid carved the jack-o'-lantern, you would get it for free. So anyway, so that like just a great house overall, really fun. Our first one full of fun surprises. Then, okay, let's see. So that was C. Those are the exits, the entrances. So C, D, or E, D or E, or B. Huh, what do we know? B, D, or E. Okay, so I think we went on B next. What is A? No, I don't know what we did next. I mean, I know. Okay, so I think we did D and E back to back because some point we did B, but I think B we had to wait in a different line. So yeah, that sounds right. So, okay, let's kind of go through this. So we went on D and E next. Now D was like a fiesta, like a Day of the Dead celebration. And it was very well themed, like it had sound effects. It had like it smelled like, you know, people were baking and stuff like that. There was these really cool villages that were set there. So it was very immersive. Like you're going there to celebrate that day, and so there's a lot of papel picado, sugar, you know, sugar skulls, all that kind of stuff, and it's just kind of an immersive experience. I'll be honest, like we went through it twice, I'm pretty sure, not in a row, but maybe we did. No, okay, so we switched back and forth. But so, yeah, we went, anyway, I'm not exactly sure, but I'm not sure the order of these two, but the next one is like to be like the highest tier, the highest of the highest tiers. So, so it's just cool. It was very good set design, pretty cool, good sound design. There's even like fireworks, like sound effects and images. So you felt like, and it just felt like cool because you're just in a sound stage and you just feel, and some of them are inside tents, but you feel like you're really immersed. But I don't remember much more about it. But the next one was called Winter's Wake. And this one was pretty well hyped. But the set design and the storytelling, it got talked about a lot. I don't know if they will ever reuse it. But this one, it was a unique idea. I guess it's like a part of a, like a story that was told at other events. But, you know, this is my first one. So this takes place in, so this is, again, in a soundstage, just so you know. It's wintertime. So a winter storm has come in to interrupt the autumnal season in early winter. And it's like a New England fishing village. On Halloween, when people want to be trick-or-treating, and it's, like, really, really cold. And so, the like, it's tough to explain the concept, but basically the town bonds together, so some sort of supernatural storm. And, like, that's kind of, like, fantastical. And they do have, like sound effects, rain and wind and fake snow effects. And they have this, like, violinist playing. There's, like, a lighthouse. This is, like, a multi-story walkthrough, or at least the elevation changes. So you're going up and down. And indoors and outdoors. But the goal of the story is that a town bonded together because, the town was just one of those towns that loved Halloween. I mean, I think Halloween's pretty popular in New England. And they said, we're not, like, and all the kids were like, I mean, it was like there was a wind chill and everything. So the kids were like, we won't be able to trick or treat. This is, like, devastating. Because they didn't know it was a supernatural. Well, they suspected it was a supernatural storm, but they didn't know because there's a violinist playing, she's playing against this winter storm. So if you read subtextually, like maybe she's some sort of positive supernatural being battling whatever force is creating this storm on the town. But anyway, the go to the plot is basically the town bonds together and it tries to interlink. So it's like a pretty, like one of those towns like out of the movies, because I guess it's fictional, right? Where it's like not a Western town, but there's a downtown with shops, but not everything's connected, but they like build connections so that you could stay warm and go from building to building. So they have just indoor trick-or-treating. And then, you know, they cut holes in walls so you could go from the saloon to the barbershop to Miss Hannigan's dance studio to, like, storage for the people that, like, because there's even, like, a sea diving company, boat repair, an old boat. Like, they take everything they can and, like, build passageways and stuff so the kids don't have to be exposed to elements and they can still trick or treat. And you're a kid trick-or-treating, so you put yourself in that same thing. Now, they don't actually have candy because they're trying to maintain this, you know, they keep it clean, and so many people are passing through. But so you pretend, and they're pretending to see, oh, welcome to the, you know, oh, what are you? And they have to improv. So they're like, oh, a kitty cat. Oh, and you could say what you are. But I don't think you're allowed, you can't, like, some people dress up for the whole event, so then they're dressed up, so it makes it easy. But you can't cover your face anyway, because obviously people are, or maybe you just can wear outfits, I don't know. But it really feels like you're a kid trick-or-treating, and there's a lot of just like it's set, I don't know what year it's set in, but it's not set in the present day. So it just feels so cool, because you're like trick-or-treating, I don't know, and there's wind and storms, and the things are rattling. And cold air, and the violinist, and the rain. And then there's just this lighthouse you can see from different parts of this, like, walkthrough. So it's just amazing. I mean, it was absolutely, probably one of the most immersive things I've been in. So that was cool. So that was 1, 2, 3. I thought there was a third one. Oh, C, D, and E. Okay, no, C was the pumpkin, jack-o'-lantern, D, okay, E. So those three we went on. I think we probably went on Winter's Wake twice in a row because there was no waits at this point. Then we ran over to get in line for B, and there was a line forming, but so the park had still not opened formally. And we got in a static line for B, which was opening. I'm pretty sure this is what happened. But yeah, so B, what's A though? Maybe that, you think that line was for A? Maybe. Okay, so I don't actually know, but we went on both these B and A next. One of them may have had no wait. Maybe B had no wait, and we went on that fast, and then we went and got in line for A, but whatever, we got in a static line, and we were able to do B and A on the map I'm just looking at. Sorry, I'll name them now. And the first one was called, this was an interesting concept, and there was a different style concept. So I feel like this is one that I could compare to Knott's and say that the one at Knott's was a little bit, so Knott's had both these concepts separately, where Universal had both of them combined together. So Knott's had like a speakeasy zone where people were like where it was like the 1920s, like an autumnal fun zone. And then they had a house with like spellcasters, toil, toil, boil and bubble. And then so Universal had a house called Spirits of the Coven. And it was like a very high concept. They even called it Flapper Spellcasters. So imagine Lady Witchbeard as a flapper. And it's a 1920s speakeasy. And I don't know if that, I guess that's during Prohibition, right? Because so they're having their Halloween speakeasy party. But you go through like, but they're also kind of the teetotalers. So it's like you're caught in the middle of like a play, basically, of they're trying to run their business and have their Halloween party, which also happens to be the anniversary. I don't know if anyone, I think you slowly gets revealed that they're spellcasters like Lady Witchbeard. It's not revealed right away, but you know it going in anyway. You know, which is hard, you know, you can't really go into any of these not knowing anything. I mean, I guess maybe my daughter knew very little, but maybe not. I think she actually watched all the walkthroughs first. I don't know if she did. Well, it doesn't matter. So it's a pretty cool story. It's just for some reason, like laying over the 1920s bootlegger on top of spellcasters, like, I don't know, there's just something about it, but it was really cool. So you go through their whole production area, you go through that, and they get, you know, they come in, they say this, you know, and then they're like, we got to throw all this away. But then it slowly gets revealed that they have powers, you know. And, but in the end, the moral is, but we mostly have the power to change your mind. And you could have fun with us, whether you're teetotaler or not. And they mostly do that by actually making tea, because that's like the big sequence at the end. It's this largest cauldron you've ever seen. Or is that what it's called? Cauldron? Whatever thing is where they toil, toil, boil, and bubble. And you're watching as the teetotalers, along with the, like the feds or whatever. I mean, this part was a little bit sleep with me because they go in and they say, what is this? Blah, blah. And they say, here, have a glass. It's tea. And then a person makes a speech from the top, like the overhang, and she's making a speech about tea and what King George and then whatever amendments. I don't know. You kind of lost me, but it was more historical fiction. And I don't know, you know, when you don't drink anymore, I guess maybe that's like, I say, okay, like, maybe I took that out on that. Okay. So the next one is called, this one was cool. It was like Intergalactic Planetary, Pet Shop, Intergalactic Planetary Pet Shop, A. And this is the last one on this side of the park, And again, we're going through these by 6:30. We were either in line for this one or going through it, these getting these two done. And I'm pretty sure we had gone on repeats of at least E, but if the Winter's Wake. But this one, so the Intergalactic Planetary Pet Shop is exactly what you would do, except that they're like, they've never heard of Halloween or autumn because they're in outer space where there's no seasons. And what happens, this is a prequel. They actually have a little bit as you're waiting in line and stuff, which is cool because they have rights to all these specials, like animated specials. What happened was, like, there was, like, some sort of, like, I don't know, something similar to a solar flare that jammed. So this is, like, in the intergalactic planetary stuff, this is the only pet shop for this part of the galaxy. But some sort of thing has happened where they can only, their systems are jammed and the only thing they can watch are autumnal special, animated specials. But this is everything. Like when you're streaming, you say, I wonder, was there ever a Tom and Jerry Halloween episode? And they say, yeah, there was, because I found a Super Friends one. I mean, it was kind of on like HBO Max, I think, by accident even, I think. But whatever, like, so you said they're just, that's all they can consume. So they've decided. And again, this is like the scale of it is hard to imagine as an Earthling. Cause you know, once upon a time there was mall pet shops. Now there's the genre ones. I just passed a bird shop on a walk the other day. I mean, this was in a specific area, part of Berkeley. So like, it's like a very specific, but you know, nowadays there's only like big brand pet shops for the most part. And actually this is not just one pet shop, which is cool. Like each, like it's different. It's kind of like a pet shop mall for the galaxy, but it's independent pet shops within, cause you say, oh, like I'm looking for a klaxon, and they'd say a feathered klaxon. Or a featherless klaxon. You say, oh boy, you get, oh yeah, go down to klaxons. And say, okay, great. So this whole, whatever you want to call it, intergalactic planetary pet shop, it has been consuming this Halloween stuff and they know the Earth date of Halloween. So they've decided to have a huge Halloween celebration, mostly dressing up pets. So kind of like a pet, like, because that's their lives, right, is pets, and like a lot of pet training goes on there. I mean, it's a whole pet culture, you know, it's like pet-based economy. So they're having this huge autumnal festival, and they do have, there are children and stuff, but most of these people, like, their lives are dedicated to, yeah, pet-based commerce. So they're putting on, I mean, that's it. You just go through the space station. And you see all these cute, you know, different space, imaginary creatures dressed up in costumes. Amazing. So that was that one. Next, I know we went to the Universal, the friends of Universal, famous friends from films. Because that and Weekend were the next two most popular. So we went to that one, and that was like, it was cool because, you know, we didn't watch it this year, and it's not Laurel and Hardy, it's Abbott and Costello. And so this one kind of follows that kind of basic theme of Abbott and Costello meeting these famous film friends from Universal Films. And so you see them. And the conceit is that Abbott and Costello have accidentally acquired some sort of gem that has all this power. And they're going through, like, this exploration site. And the person wrapped in cloth, Wolfie Pooh, and I'll never have garlic breath. They all are trying to get it from convince. So they're all trying to get them, talk to them, give them gifts, or have dance offs. It ends up like kind of devolving into basic humor in a good way, where first Abbott says, well, I want you to do this. So they each have a grand buffet. Then Costello says, well, I'd rather see you do this. Then there's another scene where they're like, tell me a joke. So you go into like a comedy club. And there's even like acrobatics in this one. I think there's one or two other ones where there's acrobatics, which was amazing. So that was that one. Then we had The Weeknd, which we went on later, but that's over on that side. So I'll just go through it. It's like a concept album, and then it's an autumnal awesome adventure based on a concept album. Basically it's cool. I mean, I guess the simple thing is like you're going into The Weeknd's imagination. And everything's in everything. I wish I could have gone through this like 10 times because everything synced to the songs. I love After Hours. Love The Weeknd. I love pop music. I love surreal. So this one is very surreal and very imaginary. I mean, I don't even know too much about how they broke the ideas for this and stuff. Other than to say there's probably videos on it. If they ever put it anywhere else again, definitely go to it because it's absolutely amazing. And it's just called Autumnal After Hours, but it's like fully immersive. I just can't put it to description other than to say it was number one or number two. Winter's Wake and The Weeknd, and then the Abbott and Costello with the Universal Friend. I mean, all of them were really good. But The Weeknd one was just like, and maybe it was also like, I could only do it once. I mean, you could have waited. I mean, but I think at the end of the night, I think we waited to go on it. Okay, what else we have here? I think we only have two left. Then we got to go through the street fun. Okay, so let's see. The next one was called, this next one was like called Autumnal Ant Farm. And this one was interesting in the sense that this one was a little bit more like a challenge, like a little bit more where you take an active role, but it's also like where you're finding your way. So you're basically pretending you're an ant in an autumnal ant farm, but you're in there. So you're kind of going through the things. Don't worry, it feels like totally spacious. But there's like giant candy corns that you could carry. And it's kind of like a treasure hunt. Like you can find stuff. They give you a little guide. And you're saying, what can you find in this autumnal ant farm? Or can you get, like, there's different, and there's enough stuff that everybody going through could have stuff to do. So that was cool. Then there was, I would have never thought of this one. But this one, the next one is a public transit based, particularly New York City sub. Well, it doesn't say New York in this one it does. But actually there they said, we can't say it's New York City. Or maybe they just couldn't name the actual trains, like the D train wins again and again. But this one is called, I don't know what, trying to think of the way to describe what it was called. Public trip, like public transit, autumn fun, had a different name that I forgot. And I can't read it on this. But so it basically, again, it has a story to it. So you're starting off, there's a bus you enter through, kids are waiting on the bus to go to different places to go trick or treating. But then what happens is it's kind of a similar, but a little bit, I mean, it's totally different than Winter's Wake, but conceptually it's a little bit similar because there's, what happens is everybody's on the subway, but the subways aren't running. So they have like on the subway trains and in between them, like you could walk and they're well lit and everything. So you'd walk, because I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but you're like, man, I'd like to walk from one station to the other and just see how long it is. And they have trick-or-treat stations set up. Now, this one actually did have real candy. But you keep it in this. They give you a zip bag with a Ziploc bag, and so you kind of just go through there. That was a really cool one. I mean, because they built all that stuff from scratch, so it really feels like the subway trains look so real. Okay, then there was the show. At some point in there, we went to the show, which was like dance, pyro, and some really cool magic. And it was about a guy dreaming. And he's dreaming of all this dance. And it's very, that one was very surreal and set to music. The level of dancing was absolutely incredible. And let's see, with the last few minutes, I'll give you some of the fun zones. So the different zones, there was a pumpkin surprise, which had like a, which was just like when you walk in and there's like someone making a speech, the queen of pumpkins, and she's making a speech about everything you can do about pumpkins. And that's where you could find a hidden little boo. Then there was Major Sweets, which that was the best one in my opinion, but it was very themed to maybe the 1950s. And Major Sweets is sponsoring. So they had actual floats just for this fun zone. So it's like Major Sweets is like a character who runs a candy company. So Willy Wonka. And it's like they're sponsoring a whole festival. And this was like with kids before there was mass market costumes. So the kids have these giant paper mache costumes or homemade stuff. Absolutely. And just very rich in character. There's like Major Sweets gets an award from the mayor. There's candy. There's, food booths with stuff themed to it. Everything's branded. Like, so it just feels like you're immersed in a Willy Wonka type of situation. Then there was one, Conjuring Autumnal Fun, and that one was, like, pretty cool, because it's, like, there was a lot of fog, and, like, a whole set where there was this magician conjuring autumnal fun, so making stuff disappear, making a, piece of candy corn go from small to gigantic, and then it starts dancing. But again, you had to see it. You were like, I see it. I still don't believe it. It's so amazing. Then on the other side of the park was called Farmtown Autumnal Fun. So it was a farm, and you get invited. You even go through their barn, and people are making costumes out of corn husks, and there's very, like, a lot of, like, farm smells, but not, like, fun farm smells. And there's square dancers and friendly scarecrows and just really immersive set. That was cool. And then there was another one towards the entrance on one side that we went through a few times. And that was called, interesting. It was called, Friends on the Rainbow Bridge. Now, cause they already had a farm one. I guess they couldn't do Big Farm in the Sky. So it was like a rainbow bridge, and there wasn't actual, there was like people, and they're like enjoying themselves on the rainbow bridge. And you get to go over it because it goes towards the entrance. So whether you're coming in that way or you're exiting, they're saying goodbye, or they're saying, welcome to our celebration. Take the rainbow bridge to eternal autumnal fun. And they said, don't worry about us. We'll be enjoying Halloween when we want to all the time. So it's just a cool one. But the rainbow bridge is like really well designed. And it was a lot of fun. And yeah, that was the last thing on there. Amazing. I highly recommend it. If you plan it out for next year, I guess. Really immersive. And you could always go in your imagination like I do. But I mean, I go to these. But it's cool to have like a co-pilot, at least one person that's really into it with you too. So I appreciate that my daughter's into it. and that we could go together and share it, share in the autumnal joy. And I'm really looking forward to what they have next or some of these other parks have next. Good night, everybody. All right, everybody, this is Scoots. I wanted to thank some people that supported sponsors or Sleep Phones and filled out the form at Sleep With Me podcast. Couldn't do it without all those people that did that. Sleep Phones is a merch, so they're not technically a sponsor, but it is a help when you buy merch and stuff like that. So I want to thank Michael, Michelle, and Amanda. And Molly, thank you, thanks, and good night. Patty, David, and Rebecca, thank you, thanks, and good night. Savannah, Rachel, and Mary Lou, thank you, thanks, and good night. Abby Ann, Sandy, and April, thank you, thanks, and good night. Rosenberg, Martha, and Chris, thank you, thanks, and good night. And Jake, Katie, and Tova. Thank you, thanks, and good night. And Layla and Faith, thank you, thanks, and good night. Couldn't do it without all the listeners like you. Really appreciate it. Thanks so much. And freeway to support the show is just to let people know about the podcast. And if you let people know about the podcast, take the time to fill out the form at sleepwithmepodcast.com/refer. And I'll send you a thank you video because spreading the word, letting people know about the podcast is a gigantic help as well. So thanks so much and good night. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple.